Hello, everybody. This is Stella from The Beauty of Play, and today we're talking about addition. I'm going to go over an overview of addition, but before we even start there, I want to talk about scaffolding. In all of math, it's important that we are scaffolding, going baby steps, one piece at a time. Because we already know the math, sometimes it's easy for us to look over steps or pieces that we think are obvious but really aren't. So when we start with scaffolding, we're going to start small with all things, right? So in the beginning with addition, we're going to start out with the single digits, the smallest ways. We're actually going to start with subitizing. And subitizing is when we're able to take groups of anything in particular and look at them and know what they are based upon the group that they're in. The thing that I think of most with this is six-sided dice. In six-sided dice, you see groups of dots, and we don't have to count those dots, we just know what they are. So games with six-sided dice are fabulous, especially in the beginning when we're working on the very basic number bonds. When we have six-sided dice or addition through the sixes well under our belt, we can add on to higher digits, the 7 through 12, for instance. And we're always going to start with the easiest. So in the beginning, we are only going to add numbers up to 10, and then we're going to increase those to go over 10. Then we'll add in the teens to a single digit, and from there we can look at double digits to double digits. We're also doing this with regrouping. So first we're doing no regrouping, and then we're working on regrouping. So regrouping is when we basically decompose and recompose numbers. It's what we knew a long time ago as carrying and borrowing. It is the separation of numbers and moving part of that number to a different number for place value. For instance, if we are adding the digits 19 and 4, we would have to regroup them because the 4 and 19 and 9 add to 13 and take that extra 10 and put it with our other 10s. That's regrouping. I think lots of different manipulatives need to be used in all parts of math. I'm going to start with the rods with addition. When we do addition with the rods, we are making trains end to end, right? And then we are seeing what those trains equal to, starting with our tens, and then filling in the gap here. So I can see that 2 plus 1 plus 1 plus 5 plus 5 gives me 14. We can make number bonds with this by finding all the different patterns. For instance, this is the rod for 9, all the different patterns that fit under the 9. And when we make a rectangle here with these patterns, this is called a mat. But I'm coming up with all the different patterns for 9. So this first row is 5 plus 4. This is 4 plus 2 plus 2 plus 1. This is 6 and 3 and so forth. This gives us our number bonds. And number bonds are super important because in all of math, to calculate, we have to be able to deconstruct and reconstruct a number. So we have to know if we are adding, for instance, 9 and 4. 4, that I can take this 4, separate it into 1 and 3. Take this 1 with my 9 to make 10, and that gives me 13. Now, this is highly inefficient talking about it like this, but it is one of the easiest ways to do mental math. It is very fast, very efficient when done in the mind. We can also use an abacus. An abacus are great for addition and subtraction. In the beginning, we can use them for single digits, and then we can use 2 of each row, and I say 2 so that we can do our regrouping, 2 of each row in place value. We'll talk about that when we talk about adding 2-digit numbers. So on this, we would just do move over whatever we're adding, 3, and then maybe we're adding 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then you can add those together. The abacuses that group in fives, so they have, you'll usually see them in 2 different colors, and they group in 5 here up to halfway in one color, and 5 on this side in another color, and then they alternate at the bottom. These are really good because it's very easy to subitize and know we have 5 here, and so it's 9, instead of having to count each bead 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Another manipulative that is really good to use are number lines. I'm a fan of 2 different kinds of number lines. Number lines on paper, but maybe more importantly, a larger number line that can be made with masking tape or with sidewalk chalk outside that a child can actually move along or move an item along. There is big movement involved in that process. And with number lines, it's similar to our other manipulatives. For instance, if we are adding 6 plus 7, we can start at 0 and jump to 6, and then we can count 7, or we can, in the beginning, count 7, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, or we can just count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 and jump those to 7, giving us 13. The same thing again. In the beginning, our number's going to be small, and then they're going to get larger. So 3 plus 8. We can start at 3 and count 8, or we can count at 8 and start 3. And you can go back and forth so that they can see that these numbers are exchangeable. This is the commutative property of addition. So we can hop to 3 and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So this is our 8, and we have 11. Want to make sure that you start your number line with 0 so they have a starting point. I often forget that. And we're going to come back to the number line in just a little bit when we start talking about 2-digit numbers. We can also use our number wheel for addition. In the beginning, again, we're only using numbers that add to 10, but after we start scaffolding, we can understand if we've gone one time around that that's 10 and the additional number. This is a really good beginning introduction to the teens. For instance, in the beginning, if we're adding 3 times 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, our answer is 6. If we are adding something greater than 10, say 8 plus 5, we can go here to 8, or if you want, you can go all the way around the circle to 8 and then add our 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. We went all the way around, which is 10, and then we have an additional 1, 2, 3. So our 8 and 5 gives us 13. Now I've listed several manipulatives here: the number line, the counting wheel, the rods, and an abacus. But really, especially in the early years, any number of things can be manipulatives. I have found that my children really enjoyed collecting things in nature: rocks, acorns, nuts. You can use those things very easily to teach math by grouping them in different groups and then bringing them together, or for subtraction you would take things away. But my point here is you can use almost any similar regular item as a math manipulative. Also, in the early years, we want to be focusing on number bonds. In the Waldorf pedagogy, it often starts with the whole to the part. So instead of saying 2 plus 3 equals 5 and going through the math facts for that, 5 minus 2 equals 3, 5 minus 3 equals 2, we are looking at 5 is what? 5 is a whole host of things, right? 1 and 4, 2 and 3, 2 and 2 and 1, and those are our number bonds. Those number bonds, especially for the smaller numbers, are extremely important. So spend a lot of time on number bonds. There, I'll leave a few games for you that you can play having to do with number bonds. Lots of rod work for number bonds. Also, again, with those manipulatives that I was talking about outside, or other things that you have that are similar, repetitive, right? So if you have a whole jar of tiny little counting bears, or if you have the flat glass marbles, you can take a group of those, 5, and see how many different groups you can make out of them. In the early years, when we're learning our math facts for addition and subtraction, it's very helpful to play games, like get loads of practice from playing games. And I will leave you a link of a few games that I think are particularly good for early childhood and learning those addition facts. Okay, let's move on to double digits. And with double digits, we're also doing the same level of scaffolding. We are starting out with more basic numbers, so we're starting out with teens plus a single digit. And first we're doing addition without regrouping, and then we are mixing regrouping into that scaffolding. Let's take a look at this with the rods. And also I want to mention that sometimes this coincides with vertical notation, which is basically where we stack the numbers on top of each other when we are manipulating them so that it's easier for us. So again, we started out end to end. Now we're going to shift, and our numbers are going to go up and down so we can group them accordingly. For instance, in the beginning, we might add 14 plus 3. And we're seeing that this works the same way, right? We have 110, and then we're adding the 4 and 3 that exchanges for a 7. And our total is 17. Eventually, we work into regrouping with these teen digits plus a single digit. So in this one, we're looking at 12, let's change this to a 9, plus 9. We can see here that we need some regrouping. And we can do this a couple of different ways. You can put this entirely end to end and go through and find the two tens, as many tens that will fit, and then fill in the gap. This is how we've done it initially before. We can also use some of our mental math techniques, and I want to spend some time talking about that in another post. In our mental math technique, we can see this 9 is very close to 10. So what I can do in this instance is take this 2 and separate it into 1 and 1, because I only need 1 to make this a 10. It makes this a 10, and now I have 21. Two different ways of doing that. This is more for horizontal that we're doing here, and when we want to shift to teaching vertical notation, then we're going to shift the rods up and down. Now let's talk about teens plus teens. So here we might have 14 plus 13, because at first there's no regrouping. And then we can see we have two tens. So we have two tens, and then we need to find out what 3 plus 4 is, which we already know is 7. So our total is 27. Now, when we start with regrouping, 17, 15 plus 17. I'll get it. You guys hang in there with me. In here, we're doing the same kind of thing. We can see we have two tens, and then we're adding these add above 10, so that gives me a 10 and another number here, a 2, because 5 and 7 is 12. Our 10 will go over with our other tens, changing this to a 3, and then we have 2 left over. So we're teaching regrouping. If I were to do this with vertical notation, bring these originals back out, 15 plus 17. We can say, let's start with our ones, because then if we have over 10, we can add those extra tens to our tens. So if we start out with our ones, we know we have 12. Because of place value, we only have two ones. And these other 10, which we'll note up here, gets added with the other tens that we're going to add. We have 1 and 2, which is 2, and the third 10 gives us 3. So it's 32. After we have these lower numbers under our belt, we can start with adding larger numbers. It's the same kind of thing. And if you're adding two digits, one of the things that is important to know is that you're only going to be carrying over or regrouping 110, because in two digits, the highest number you can have in the ones place is 9, and when we add those up, it's 18. Now that changes if you're doing a whole series of numbers, but if you're only adding two digits, then when we need to carry over, it's 1. When you're doing mental math, this is very helpful to know. I can quickly look at these two digits over here and see that they add over 10. So I know I can go ahead and add an extra 1 over in my ones place here. So I have 1 and 1. I can see these are more than 10, so this number is going to be 3. And this is 12, so I'm just going to keep that 2 there. It's very helpful to understand this in mental math. Okay, let's move on with 2-digit by 2-digit. Here I'm looking at 24 plus 37. And when we're doing the paper algorithm, we start at the left with our ones because it's easier to regroup our tens. If you're doing this mentally, that is the least efficient method to use and takes a lot more working memory. It's much easier to add your tens first in the mind and then adjust the tens after you add your ones. Okay, but we're doing it on paper. So we're starting out with our ones. Here are the ones that we have. We have a 7 and a 4. This requires regrouping. It's going to give us 11. So we're going to put our one that we have over here. And now we can add, we'll just note that other 10 here because we're going to put it with our other 10s. And we can see that we have a total of 6 10s. So we have 61. This changes on a number line. And here we need some more abstract thought to go along with this because most of our number lines, such as this one down here, don't have enough space for adding two-digit numbers. So let's start small and work our way up. Let's look at 14 plus 3 again. So 14 plus 3, we would start at 14 and then count an additional 3. 1, 2, 3. That's going to bring us to 17, right? So this is 14, 15, 16, 17. So our number is 17. Let's look at when we add with regrouping. So let me draw another number line here. Let's look at the 12 plus 9 that we looked at earlier. We can go to 12 and then add 9. There's a couple of different ways that you can do this. First, I would say it's important to evaluate the problem. Which is easier, to start at the 12 or to start at the 9? Since we can switch these either way, it doesn't really matter. In this particular problem, I would have started at the 9 because it's so easy to make 9 a 10. But in this case, let's get our 12 up to 20. To do that, we jump to 20. We use 8 of our 9. And then we need one more that brings us to 21. So this is 21. Now this is a mental math technique, but it's very helpful to use a number line to illustrate this particular technique. Now let's look at when we have regrouping. Some of our other problems with regrouping was 15 plus 17. And if we are looking, again, this can be done so many different ways, but say we're going with the normal regrouping. We might do our tens first. That's 10 and then 20. And then our fives. This puts me to 25. So this was 10, 20. Now I'm at 25. And then I have an additional 7. I know if I go 5, this was a 5, and this is a 10. If I go an additional 5, that brings me to 30, and then I need 2 more, that brings me to 32. So in this one, we added our 1s first, our 10s first, and then went and added our 1s. And it is easier to do that on the number line, and it is also easier to illustrate mental math using this technique on the number line. So this is 32. Just to give you an idea of different ways to process this, particularly on a number line, 15 and 17 are very close to 15, and doubles are definitely the way to think about math when they're close together like that. For some reason, doubles are pretty easy. So this is 15 and this is 15, so that brings us to 30. And from here, I can see I need two more from the 7, so that brings me to 32. Another way that we can illustrate this, and this is when you're working on this, you want to spend time on one trick, concept, mental math idea at a time. So you wouldn't teach all these three things at the same time. You would teach one and you would practice that for a while in different ways, maybe with the rods, maybe with count jumping, maybe with the lines, the abacus, and so forth. And then you would move on to the next technique. But I'm showing you all the different ways that you can do this. I want to spend a longer video on all these strategies, but just know there are several different ways that you can teach with a number line this vertical notation or two-digit addition with regrouping. Another one that we can do is start with 15 or 17. If we start with 15, that brings us to 15, and then we can add 10 to bring us to 25, and then add 5 to bring us to 30, and then we have that additional 2 that brings us to 32. Again, this time we are going to change our abacus so that our numbers show place value. So 2 here are going to be my 1s, these 2, and we're doing 2 rows because that allows us for the regrouping necessary. And then these will be our 10s, and these, if we need them, hundreds and so forth. So when we're looking using the abacus at addition, we're doing the same thing. We're making our numbers with our beads. For instance, if we're looking at 14 plus 3, we have 110 and 4 rods, right? So this is 14 because this is 1 from the 10s, and then I have 4 ones. And then I'm adding 3 additional ones, just 3, and that gives me 17. If we're looking at 14 plus 13, I can make 13 and then add 14. So I'm adding 10s and 1s, and that is giving me 27. Now, when we're doing 2-digit with regrouping, I'm going to do 15, which is a 10 and 5, and I'm adding 17. So here's my 10. I can add 5 here, but I need 2 more here. See here how we needed that regrouping? But all these 10s can be exchanged here, giving me 32. About using the 100 chart for addition. So if we are using the 100 chart, it's important that we rearrange our chart starting from the bottom and going up. And I highly recommend, though it does take some time, to place our charts on the sidewalk in outside. So wherever you can make that happen. An empty parking lot, a large sidewalk area, wherever you can make that happen. And just to give you a tip here, if you are going to do an outside 100 chart, I would make a large area, a large square, divide it into fourths, and then divide each fourth in 5 by 5. So it makes it easier to figure out and then number all of them. You probably want to do this on a clear sunny week so you have plenty of time to use it, because it does take a little bit of time to do. Okay, so it's important to start from the bottom up, and the reason that we're doing this is when children move up instinctually, we view that as an increase. And then from left to right, because of our reading, we view as an increase, and to move in the opposite direction, we view as a decrease. So we want to have this orientation for a number chart for addition, particularly if an outdoor one. So start at the bottom, left to right, and work your way up for the 100 chart. So when using a 100 chart, initially you can just choose a number. We're again starting with smaller numbers, and then no regrouping and scaffolding up. So in the beginning, if you're just doing single digits, a number line is sufficient. You don't need a 100 chart. But later on, when we're doing larger numbers, it's helpful to have a 100 chart. For instance, we would start with our teens and add single digits, right? So 14 plus 3, 1, 2, 3 gives us 17. And then we would work up to double digits, or 34 plus 3, 1, 2, 3 gives us 37. Eventually, we're going to be adding by tens. And when we do that, I would start at the tens because we've already skip counted at the tens. So you can start at 40 and add 30, right? So 40, 50, 60, 70 is going to give us 70. Eventually, you can add by tens in the center of the board, and they will understand that to jump from 35 to 45 is 10. And you can just say, add 35 plus 10. And if they go 36 or 7, 38, 39, you know, they can do that slow process, but eventually they will catch on. Or if they're not, you can help them by saying, hey, I noticed something. Did you notice? And write the numbers down and go through and look at the pattern. I noticed that it also ends in 5, you know, and so forth. So we're doing these things separate. We're adding and subtracting by ones first that don't require regrouping. And then we are adding by tens over here on the side for the tens. Then we're adding by tens in the middle of the board. And eventually we are bringing these things together. So 35 plus 25, right, would be, we're gonna add our 20. That brings us here. And then we're going to add our 5, that brings us over here. And when we work at regrouping, where we need regrouping in our numbers, I'm going to use our 15 plus 17. We can start at our 15, and then our 17, we'll add the first 10. The 5 is going to bring us to 30, and then we have 2 more that is going to bring us to 32. I love the work with the 100 chart. In addition to that, it's helpful to do 100 number bonds, the number bonds for 100. Spend a little time on that. That's really helpful for larger numbers as well. Greater numbers is the same kind of concept. And by this point, they have the lower numbers, the concept in general of place value and addition and regrouping kind of under their belt. They have some experience, so it becomes a little easier for them. So let's look at 325 plus 147. Again, we would start with no regrouping and then move to regrouping, but I'm already here with this. So there are a couple things that I want to show you on this. We can continue to use manipulatives. If you have base 10 blocks, they come in these 10 by 10 squares that are really helpful, and we can pull those out and do build the numbers. I have 1, but let's say I have 3 of these. 20, 5, and then we can add them and continue on with that. We can also start to draw. Because we've been working with our manipulatives, we know that the 100 square block looks like this, our 10s look like this, and the 5s
look like this. And then we can draw, we can build this 145, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I find it always helpful and encourage even my older students to draw their numbers, their problems. It gives a lot of insight and we process so much visually. So again, you can go left to right or right to left. Because this is on paper, we're gonna go left to right because it's easier. I can see here that these are over 10. It's gonna give me 12. So I'm going to note that over here and put this 10 with my other 10s, and then I have 2 left over, right? So 2, and I'm noting it here with the algorithm in my math language over here. And then I have 2 and 4, which is 6. That additional one gives me 7, and that gives me 4. The concepts that need to be very deeply understood for this level of addition are place value and regrouping, or basically the decomposition and recomposition of numbers. Let's look at what this would look like on a number line. And this is especially for mental math. We would start with our largest number, which is 325. And then we would first count by our hundreds, right? We're going, when we're doing mental math, we're going left to right because that's far easier. So I have 100, and that's bringing me to 425. And then I'm adding 4 tens, and that's bringing me to 465. And then I can add an additional 5 to bring me to 470. And then my last 2, because I only used 5 of the 7, brings me to 472. Just like before, for any place value, it doesn't matter what place value it is. If we are adding only 2 numbers, then our regrouping will only be a 10. And so I can quickly look, let's look at something that requires quite a bit of regrouping. It's important to note that when we are adding 2 numbers, the highest number that we will have to regroup is 10. And we know this because, as I explained before, the highest digit that can be in each place value is a 9. Which gives us 18. So the 10 is the only thing that we will be regrouping here. This makes mental math when you're doing 2 numbers a little easier, and we can move from left to right. For instance, if I'm adding these 2 numbers here, which are 15, I can glance over and see the 8 and 7 is gonna be over 10. So my number here is going to be 16. And then 8 and 7 gives me 15. But I can glance over and look at this column and see this is going to be over 10. So that would be 16. So I'm just going to take that 1 here. And then this, of course, is 11. So my digit is 1,667, or my number. That is all for our overview of addition today. As always, feel free to ask questions. If you have a question or don't understand anything, need clarification, just ask. There are several ways to get in touch with me. You can reply to my emails. There's a contact form in your membership area. And then also I'm on most social media, including TikTok, Instagram is where I spend most of my time. Facebook, so you can message me if you need to. Sometimes I don't get those as well, and Voxer. So however you need to reach me, if you don't hear back from me, shoot me an email. And as always, I hope you enjoy your math journey.